Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
That day. We tried to provide as much information as we could and tried to make it local to how it affected us locally here in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin, and I think we did a good job of that.
The state capitol, the Wisconsin state capitol, has actually been shut down, locked down.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
8:13 on a Wednesday morning. We got 26 emails. 26 into our newsroom from the Trump campaign, Harris campaign, RNC, DNC, various surrogates, some coming in real time, others after the debate. Both sides spinning that it was their candidate who crushed it.
Tonight, the high-stakes showdown here in Philadelphia between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Their first face-to-face meeting in this presidential election. Their first face-to-face meeting ever. So let's now welcome the candidates to the stage. Vice President Kamala Harris and President Donald Trump.
Kamala Harris. What's up? Good debate.
Nice to see you. Have fun.
You added that pancake. That wasn't...
This isn't the music.
The music that they used on ABC.
Pretty darn close at times, the way we do our politics these days.
Yeah, what does Tausch call it? The sportification, yes, of politics?
Absolutely.
All right, right, let's have at it. How about that handshake, though?
Right. Ooh, out of the gate.
Right? It was awkward. Weird right from the get-go. I suppose, though, I think part of that is because there's no audience. So in another one of these debates with no audience, which, as a consumer of the debate from my couch, I like.
From now on.
Yep.
Execution style, as far as the way they had that set up with the mic situation and mm-hmm. the no crowds, absolutely 100% every time.
You don't have to wait for the moderators to tell folks, we asked you to hold your applause. You know, you don't have to hoot and holler and whatever. We can just get to what he says, absolutely, what she says, and get through it. But it did create that moment where usually when they walk out on stage to applause, at least they do their look and their point. You know, oh, yeah, oh, there you are. Yeah, mm-hmm. Hello, right? You wonder if they actually see anyone.
Yeah, you made it. Thanks.
Right. Oh, good. Yep, there you are. Hello. But they didn't have that, so they just kind of sort of walked near their podium, and then she was a little bit quicker than he was, so are you going to meet me here, or should I go to you?
She was set on shaking his hand, and right. I think he wasn't sure whether or not they were doing that or not. And...
Right, so they did. She actually told him her name. I'm Kamala Harris.
You think that was intentional?
And he told her to have fun. All right, have fun.
Do you think she said her name intentionally, or is that just
because he's been mispronouncing it?
Yeah, or was it just, I'm nervous and I'm meeting someone and I say their name?
I don't know. I suppose both are plausible, but virtually everything is calculated in one of these, right?
Right?
Must have thought about that moment before. I do think also, here's two people who haven't met. They've obsessed over one another for years and years, right? They're widely aware of one another. You know, it's like a boxer getting ready for that big match, right? You got the picture of the person up in the mirror, you know, like Rocky did. But they've never actually met. And all of a sudden, that person's real and in front of you.
And then they were together again today at the 9/11 memorial. Like literally standing, three people apart from each other.
So by no means will this be a comprehensive review of an hour and a half debate. But we'll bring you some of the highlights. You want something funny first?
Okay.
Do you want the story behind the pets?
Yeah, we need to hear about the dogs.
Okay, here he is.
In Springfield... They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country, and it's a shame.
So what anyway is this about?
You hear the people laughing in the background?
Right,
too?
And I didn't even know where that came from, because there weren't that many people there, like right there in the room. It was kind of a bizarre moment, but he is talking about Springfield, Ohio. And the former president says the community is overrun there by illegal immigrants. And he didn't pull this pet thing out of thin air. There was a social media post that suggested as much, that it went viral. But media all over then investigated that, have debunked it or called it a rumor at best. There's no confirmation. In fact, Muir kind of fact-checked him on it, said... Do you have that?
I have a little bit of that.
There have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
Well, I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here, this is the
people on television say my dog was taken and used for food.
Okay, whether they did or whether they didn't, even regardless of that, you have to think the Trump team is at that point going, whoa,
move on.
This is not what we talked about.
Right.
So, and the look on Vice President Harris's face at that was almost like, sir, really? So I didn't think that was a great moment for the former president, but that's the story behind the story of why he's talking about the pets and the cats.
Right. Also addressed foreign policy, the former president says the Middle East will be in rough shape if Harris were in office.
If she's president, I believe that Israel will not exist within 2 years from now. And I've been pretty good at predictions, and I hope I'm wrong about that one.
More from the former president.
The whole place is going to get blown up. Arabs, Jewish people, Israel. Israel will be gone.
Now, here's what's interesting. This tends to happen. The candidates basically project what they believe will happen if the other person is office. And they both did it. Vice President Kamala Harris addressing Putin and what Russia has done and what they would do if Trump were in office.
Putin would be sitting in Kyiv with his eyes on the rest of Europe, starting with Poland. And why don't you tell the 800,000 Polish Americans right here in Pennsylvania how quickly you would give up for the sake of favor and what you think is a friendship with what is known to be a dictator who would eat you for lunch.
So I think to your point, though, about how we got to hear like very different visions for national security, we got to have them, they each put their statements out for whatever value that you put on that. If you're listening right now, that's fine. But at least you got to hear it instead of them bickering back and forth like we'd seen in some of these other debates.
100% agree. As far as, you know, you can challenge policy, facts and all this different stuff. But as far as hearing from their own mouth what they think, how they feel on certain things, that is one of the best debates we've ever seen.
Let's cut through abortion here. Kind of a tough issue for the former president because most Americans, according to polls and their voting, suggests that most Americans want at least some access to legal abortion. What that looks like within people's personal ethics varies widely, but most want some access to legal abortion. Trump clarifying his stance on this particular issue.
Now, I believe in the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. I believe strongly in it. Ronald Reagan did also.
But his Supreme Court picks brought down Roe v. Wade, and he said it took courage for him to make those appointments and to make that happen. But he now has to own that. And his contention is now states, and in some cases, states have already gone to referendum and asked the voters directly, asked the people directly, what do you want to do for abortion law? And Trump says, yeah, that's what we wanted.
This is an issue that's torn our country apart for 52 years. Every legal scholar, every Democrat, every Republican, liberal, conservative, they all wanted this issue to be brought back to the states where the people could vote.
So Vice President Harris arguing that is exactly not what people wanted.
Pregnant women who want to carry a pregnancy to term, suffering from a miscarriage, being denied care in an emergency room because the healthcare providers are afraid they might go to jail and she's bleeding out in a car in the parking lot. She didn't want that.
She did close by pledging to sign a bill that would make abortion protection federal law if that were to pass Congress and reach her desk as president.
Vice President addressing economy.
I love our small businesses. My plan is to give a $50,000 tax deduction to startup small businesses, knowing they are part of the backbone of America's economy.
The former president saying tariffs would return, but also said inflation under the current administration has been a disaster.
We have inflation like very few people have ever seen before, probably the worst in our nation's history. We were at 21%, but that's being generous because many things are 50, 60, 70, and 80% higher than they were just a few years ago.
Former president also said a lot of the jobs that have been created under the current administration are bounce-back jobs, the jobs that were eliminated during COVID that have now returned.
Yeah, that's an area where I wanted a little bit more, and if they do have another debate, I'd like to get a little bit more into economy because regardless of what you think of Vice President Harris or even for President Biden, you go to the grocery store and stuff's still too expensive. Maybe right. You blame them, maybe you don't. But either way, what's the plan there? Gas prices are coming back down now, but we're high. Other things are, you know, up there in cost. It's hard to buy a car. It's hard to buy a house. Interest rates are still high. She has to own that record right. To a degree.
Yeah, you see. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But then separate herself in some way saying, well, I wasn't actually the president. That's nuanced. You know, kind of like Trump has to be nuanced on the abortion issue. She has to be nuanced on that. Yeah. How do you say, you know, you were in there for 3.5 years. Now you're saying, well, we need to bring down prices. Yeah, well, what have you done the last 3.5 years? Right. She has to figure out. I'd like to hear more from her on that. And that's one of his stronger areas. It seems odd that still from time to time, when they were on economy, he just drifted off into these other areas.
Well, one of the things that the VP had a lot of success with last night, and Trump supporters will agree because we heard them say so. Excuse me, we heard them say so last night. In the spin room, is that she often baited him. She was able to distract him from message by, she'd just drop a little nugget, she'd just drop a hook, and he'd go after it, and he would lose a lot of his time on whatever he was supposed to be talking about, reacting to something that she had said.
Here, perfect example. You want the soundbite from the rallies?
Yeah, yes. Right? It's a great example.
Last thing you want to do to, or at least, last thing he wants is for someone to pick on his rallies. He's very proud of, you know, the large crowds that he gets and all that, so she goes here.
You will see during the course of his rallies, he talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom. And I will tell you, the one thing you will not hear him talk about is you.
Nope, nope. He didn't want to hear about that.
She said people start leaving. People don't go to her rallies. There's no reason to go. And the people that do go, she's busing them in and paying them to be there. And then showing them in a different light. So she can't talk about that. People don't leave my rallies. We have the biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics. That's because people want to take their country back.
My rally is bigger than your rally.
it was a brilliant little tactic move. I mean, it worked a couple of different times. In fact, Fox News, a lot of the supporters after the speeches, after the debates, we're frustrated by it.
Former President Trump did take a lot of the bait that she threw out.
He went down a few cat and dog holes.
Make no mistake about it. Trump had a bad night. He rose to the bait repeatedly when she baited him.
This was rough. He had some moments where you were like, oh, my God, where are we going with this?
It was Jesse Waters there.
Right. That was MSNBC?
No, was Fox News.
Right. So we'll see if there's another matchup. She's indicated that she wants one. Vice President Harris says she does. And President Trump, who made the rare move to appear in the spin room immediately after and allowed people to interview him, he said he thought he had a good night and that he would be open to at least talking about a second contest.
Game changer, man. This is everything about this campaign has flipped. Like, everything is different now than how you've ever campaigned before. The fact that he was in the spin room and she was out holding a rally. She held a rally after the debate. Like, everything is different. Usually they would disappear. We wouldn't hear from them again. And here we are.
So the debate was an hour and a half. We just gave you 10, 15 minutes there, so hardly comprehensive. But a few highlights for you this morning.
One of the bigger stories, I shouldn't say bigger stories, but a story that did come out of last night was Taylor Swift is now officially weighing in, and now, as expected, he is putting her support behind Harris Walz.
Oh, I guess I'll change my vote then. You know, right? Yes, okay, right. Now that she's in. I'm not saying she doesn't have a right to be in, but just like, who was waiting for that?
It's here's the reaction from Trump when he was asked about it.
What is your reaction to Taylor Swift's endorsement of Kamala Harris?
I have no idea.
And that was the right answer to that question, no doubt. 8:25.
In 16 years at WTMJ, I literally said breaking news thousands of times. This was not just a breaking news story, but probably the biggest story we would ever be covering.
Guys, excuse me a second. Jim, I'm sorry, I got to interrupt here. We got a big breaking story out of New York.
Started out as a normal Tuesday morning. The late Jim Irwin was on the air with his sports commentary.
John, we got a big story breaking in New York.
A 737 has crashed into the World Trade
Things
Center.
Things quickly escalated from there.
There is a gaping hole right now, and thick black smoke with flames is pouring out.
I kept my eye on the TV, and from my time in New York, was able to orient listeners on what was happening where.
Thank goodness we had John Belmont there from New York, who knew the groundwork, knew what the World Trade Center was, knew the lay of the land.
The north building at the World Trade Center in New York is gone. It has collapsed. This is more horrific than any special effects you've seen in films. And I was concerned.
I knew how many thousands of people worked there and could only imagine what the death toll would be.
I think what gets lost is the total fear, the actual terror that it was. as we did not know what was going to happen next.
We got another plane crash, guys. This is from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. Large plane crashes in western Pennsylvania.
I recall John and I talked about how this must be terrorism.
They want you to feel insecure in your own home. They want you to
wonder.
Well,
it's working.
That is. I mean,
it's working, Charlie.
It's something.
I'll tell you for me.
And again, just from
over the years, I think the most satisfying thing has been just how many people trusted the station.
I'm proud of the coverage that we did that day.
And we were on almost every radio in Milwaukee that day.
We tried to provide as much information as we could and tried to make it local to how it affected us locally here in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin, and I think we did a good job of that.
The state capitol, the Wisconsin state capitol, has actually been shut down, locked down.
So remember that time, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we had Nisnansky on, as we often do, Storm Team 4 chief meteorologist, Brian Nisnansky. And we were kind of giving him the business because he had called me up asking about his appendix.
Because his stomach wasn't feeling good, right? He was feeling pain.
A little sore.
Sore, okay.
Right. I had my appendix out maybe 3-4 years ago, which is late in life to have that happen to you. But your appendix becomes inflamed and pretty much what they do is they take it out because you can't risk it rupturing.
And you don't
need
it.
That can kill you.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't need it. You had yours out little.
I was
right?
11, yeah. It was excruciating.
But you're right. You remember being in excruciating pain, right?
Yes.
As did I, despite the fact I did go to work that day.
That's a whole other story.
But they sent me home because I was doubled over, right? So Nisnansky calls me up and he's like, hey, yeah, when you had your appendix out, and I'm like, no, dude, like you would know. You would know something is seriously wrong. I'm like, it hurt. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't function.
So this was weeks ago when he
weeks ago, right? He does need his appendix out. He is in the hospital right now.
No.
Yes. That can kill you, man. Like if it ruptures and you don't get that treated.
That's super serious, yep.
So and I talked to Niz. He said it was okay that I shared this story. Not entirely on my shoulders, though, either. He went to urgent care and they basically told him the same thing. Like, no, man, if this were appendix related, like you would be in the hurt locker right now. And so they sent him home from urgent care.
So what do you think it was? Like a pulled muscle?
They thought like a sports hernia, you know, something in there.
Okay.
Or a pulled muscle. Right. You know, because he's active and he's athletic and, you know, does that. So he waited weeks and sat on this thing. And he said the pain got worse. And then he said, you know, he had a bad night the other night, like fever and chills. And he's like, all right, that's that. And sure enough, in a sort of medical anomaly, so the docs told him that some sort of membrane sort of formed around that area, which maybe prevented it from hurting more. Also, very fortunate since it does appear to have ruptured.
Like, oh, no.
It's containing some of the bad stuff that can really cause problems.
The membrane is,
yes.
Has caught it all?
Yes.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
But now it's going to be a delay till he can even have it removed. They got to splash it with all sorts of antibiotics and get some of the inflammation down, apparently, because the surgeon won't touch it yet. But he's got to stay in the hospital because it's really serious.
So no more forecasting for a bit.
Yeah, so he's down for a little bit, and that's why. And he said it was okay to share it. Also, moral of the story probably is seek medical advice elsewhere than Vinny.
Yeah, right. Okay, good. Right. I'm glad we have that straight now. Right.
So if you have anything, you know, like don't listen to whatever I tell you.
I'll just Google
it. No, you don't need to get that checked. That's fine. No, you're good. 844 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Wisconsin's Morning News. It's been a big week in New York. It's New York Fashion Week. It's a big deal. All the big names, the names we've even heard of.
Right, even some people I might have
like
heard
of. Like the Ralph Lauren's, right? Yes. And the Hilfigers and all that. They're out there doing the fashion shows. Joining us on the WTMJ hotline is Donna Rico. She's an executive fellow from Mount Mary University. Donna, so far, what's been the coolest show? What have you seen that stood out to you?
Well, I think, first of all, thanks for having me. I love to talk about fashion, as you know, and New York Fashion Week is so important for everyone in so many ways. And this year, I'm just really excited about the mood. I look forward to spring shows because they feature clothes that are light and bright and cheerful. And who doesn't want to identify with that? And you can feel a vibe of real optimism this season. And the spirits are really high. I think the upcoming U.S. election has more designers showing their patriotic side. And there's a feeling of unity in the air. And New York designers pretty consistently, you know, created really joyful and desirable collections. And most importantly, their wearable clothes. And the venues were really exciting. You know, fashion is big business, and brands succeed when they excite and entice the consumer through their shows.
Donna, when you say wearable, that
caught my ear.
Yeah, us laymen in here assume that means, because oftentimes when whether it's fair or not, when we think of fashion shows or runways, it might be some pretty extravagant stuff. When you say wearable, are you just talking like shirts and
this year's khakis?
Well, you know, there's a real, this is America. And there's, you know, you mentioned Ralph Lauren and Tommy Hilfiger. I thought their shows were terrific. I mean, Ralph Lauren, he had his guests travel hours outside of New York. And his show was held on a horse farm in Bridgehampton. And it was like a Hollywood set. And the clothes were amazing. I mean, they were, you know, followed all of the Ralph Lauren house codes, the romanticism, the varsity prep, rugged Western, Great Gatsby looks. I mean, who doesn't want to look like that? And Tommy Hilfiger did the same. His show was held on the Staten Island Ferry that Pete Davidson and Colin Jost purchased recently. And there was a real sort of seaworthy vibe about his show. And there were lots of regatta stripes and sailor looks and really cute things that I think look great on all kinds of people. I love that, you know, preppy androgynous effect, and I think that can work for everyone.
What kind of fit is it this year, Donna? Are we back to a little bit baggier? Like for a while we were in the skinny jeans and everything was form fitted. Are we going baggy again?
The cool people are wearing baggy.
Yes, good. Thank you.
It's
back
continuing.
To the 80s.
And I think it looks great, and it's new. And again, it's fashion is commercial. It's a business. We, you know, they have to get people to buy every season. And, you know, we have enough skinny jeans. Let's try the baggy ones now.
Donna Rica joins us. She is the executive fellow at Mount Mary University in New York for the New York Fashion Show. So is this one like the big one? Is this the creme de la creme, or are there other ones? Or is London a bigger deal? Which is the biggest of the biggest fashion shows?
Well, you know, we'll have to, New York is first, actually, and they've been first since 1998. Traditionally, the European shows were first, and New York was at the end. But there was a designer, Helmut Lang, and he was from Milan, and he decided back in the 90s to relocate his show to New York, and everyone else followed suit. And so he showed first. They all showed first in September. So, you know, the levels of fashion are different in every city for sure. You know, there's fashion capitals. There's New York, London, Paris, Milan. And, you know, New York, again, it's more Americana. There's certainly elevated looks. There's vintage looks. There's lots of color. There's lots of prints. Things that are, I think, really desirable and wearable, like I said. But there's also more elevated looks. And this year, there's a couple of French brands that actually came to New York and offered some really elegant looks as well.
Can you tell where someone's from by their clothes? Like, where if you see a certain type of design, you're like, okay, that's clearly Paris, or that's clearly from this part of the country or world.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, there's American designers that have a strong, you know, point of view and might step out a little bit. But generally, the European shows tend to be a little cleaner, a little more elegant, more sophisticated in some ways. The cuts are more dramatic. They reach a little bit more sometimes than the Americans. But you know what? There's fashion really at every level, and there's a customer that wants that look here too. So the younger designers, you know, often will push themselves a little bit to reach that customer.
Donna, what do you wear to a fashion show? Man, you gotta think about that a little bit, right?
It's like wearing white to a wedding.
You know, we all see the pictures. The interesting point is, you know, there's a lot of celebrities at the shows, and what I find really interesting is they're all dressed in the latest looks from that collection that's on the runway. And I just can't imagine how difficult that must be and how much, you know, more effort it must take to dress all of those celebrities that show up. So they're dressed to the nines in the looks that are coming down the runway often. But the fashion editors and the people that have to trudge to far-flung places to see these shows all day long for 5 days straight. They're wearing sneakers. They're wearing mitts. They're wearing black. They're, you know, something comfortable for sure, because it's torture. And then they have to travel as well, you know, and traveling to Europe and attending all these shows, it's challenging. But comfort is key.
Mount Mary University Executive Fellow Donna Rico, and you're going to be in town. Fashion Fest at Bayshore is Sunday. You're going to be there for that, right?
Yes, I can't wait. We have a number of our grads are showing at that show, and it's going to be very exciting. I was there last year, and it's really well attended. It's great for the community to come and see fashion, what's happening in Milwaukee. And you know, Mount Mary is all about educating the next generation of fashionistas, and we're very proud to have our students on the runway.
Well, welcome back to Milwaukee in a couple of days. Thank you, Donna.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Donna Rico, the Executive Fellow at Mount Mary University of the Fashion Program.
It's 8:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
8:57 WTMJ forecast, sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High of 84 degrees today under mostly sunny skies. Mostly clear tonight, low down to 62, and for Thursday, 83 degrees, your high temp, under mostly sunny skies. This forecast, no thanks to Ms. Nansky, who's down, as I detailed earlier in the show. So our best wishes to Niz. He should be back hopefully soon. I'll update you on his progress. And if you wonder what that's about, check out the podcast. Text Vince to 855-616-1620. What's gotten Ms. Nansky in the hospital? We also did a number of 9/11 remembrances through the morning, and some interesting debate analysis, and a lot of sound bites from the debate as well. Brought you some of the highlights from that this morning. All available on our podcast page anytime. WTMJ Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is up next.
Oh, Jackson! We blew a gasket on the grave.